This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NCAA. Your home for live sports is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, where we only talk to the best and the brightest minds in the industry. And then you listen and get smarter by proxy. What we do for you here in the sports bar with a new edition of Brendan Bean, Buffalo Bills general manager from the Carolina Panthers. We thought we'd have on Joe Person, covers the Panthers for the Charlotte Observer. Joe, welcome to the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia.
What's going on, guys?
Well, we are, Joe, we thank you for the time. We're trying to learn as much about the new GM here as possible. And usually it works the other way here. People leave for Western New York and they go down to Carolina, but now we've got a pipeline going in reverse here. So, what can you tell us about the new hire here in Buffalo? What was he like to work with down in Carolina?
Yeah, really, really good dude. Personable, which I think, you kind of need to be in these GM jobs. I mean, doesn't mean you have to be best buddies with the players. I'm not suggesting that, although it helps to have their respect. But you got to make some tough decisions where personnel's involved. So no, what I meant by his personality, he really, in Carolina, Brandon Bean, was able to kind of serve as a bridge between the front office and the coaching staff. He was very well liked among both groups of people. Dave Gettleman, despite maybe feeling like Brandon Bean was a guy that was kind of the up and coming guy because of that, I should say, he promotes him to assistant GM 2 years ago. Bean, previous to that, I should point out, was the only in-house candidate to interview for the job when Marty Kearney left. But then the coaches liked him too. I mean, obviously Ron Rivera likes him and Sean McDermott very clearly does. So he is a sharp guy. He's a nice guy. He's a loyal guy. We'll see. McDermott I don't think you have to worry up there about hearing stories about McDermott and Brandon Bean not being on the same page, because I think they are, I think they're going to have a good chemistry where that's concerned.
Joe Person joining us from the Charlotte Observer, covering the Carolina Panthers here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, to learn more about new Bills GM Brandon Bean. Grew up in North Carolina, right? A North Carolina life for Joe. Is that the truth with Brandon?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm actually doing a kind of a second day column here on Brandon and going back through some of the clips. And he grew up not far from Charlotte, kind of a little podunk town on the way to the beach, and was a high school quarterback. He and Sean are kind of, I think, both, they may not admit it, but I think they both might have a little man's disease. They're hard workers. Neither of them were big guys. Brandon might be a shade smaller than Sean. But Bean played high school. He was a high school quarterback, got hurt his senior year. So any dreams he had of playing college ball kind of died with that ACL injury. Went to UNC Wilmington down on the beach here and was all kind of set to become a high school teacher and coach, and took an internship with the Panthers and never left. 20 years later, he has finally worked his way all the way up the ladder here. They were kind of, he sort of had a glass ceiling here, because Dave Gettleman was, as I said, hired a few years ago. Dave's getting up there in age, mid-60s. I think he's 66, but he wasn't ready to leave yet. So I think this is a good opportunity for Brandon. I think the Panthers see it as such, and sad to see him go, but they're happy for him getting this chance.
Joseph Person, you can follow him on Twitter. Joe Person from the Observer joining us here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Joe, go down to Carolina. It's a great place to go on vacation. It's a different world up here, meaning the world revolves around the Buffalo Bills, where not so much the Panthers in Carolina. You got other things going on down there. I'm just curious how his personality will mesh with this Bills fan base, because we've seen other guys come in and this, whether it's 17 years of non-playoffs, but you can't go into a supermarket anonymously anymore. He is going to be a celebrity here in Western New York, and I'm just curious as to what you think, how he'll adapt to that.
I think he'll kind of thrive, under that spotlight and pressure. I've wondered the same thing about McDermott, because we had opportunities with him in the media, of course, but they were limited. He did kind of one day a week with us and did a good job with it. But then I'd turn around, and any time I see McDermott doing press conferences in Buffalo, he's very engaging, seems to be informative, sometimes funny, and really just seems to be soaking it all in. I mean, these two guys, I hate to use this expression because it gets beat around a lot in the NFL, but they are grinders. You don't start. Sean McDermott went kind of hat in hand to the old veteran stadium and knocked on the door of Ray Rhodes and took a basic grunt entry level position as the administrative assistant to the head coach in Philly, his hometown, and Brandon Bean did much the same thing here. His returning after college, he takes an internship, a four-week internship in the PR department at training camp for the Panthers. Clearly did enough in that short time. And again, there's, I think, where the personality comes in. I think people like him. I think, I think they see the kind of worker he is, and they kept giving him more and more opportunity, more and more responsibility, and now he's getting a shot.
Joe, the knock on Bean, if there is one, from fans has been, well, this guy isn't the most experienced when it comes to scouting talent. Can you dispel that myth? I mean, Bean was somebody who was instrumental in coming up with their draft boards year in and year out. I mean, talk about what his experience has been in scouting talent there for the Panthers.
Well, it was limited early in his career, and even, maybe as recently as, say, 8 years ago, something like that, 7-8 years ago. And then Marty Herney started giving him some more responsibilities for personnel evaluation. And then he was really, really kind of was inundated with it when Dave Gettleman arrived. Herney had a background kind of like Bean. He was a sports writer, actually, Marty Herney. Gettleman was a scout, as you certainly know, was 9 years with the Bills as a scout. And so he really kind of took Brandon Bean under his wing and kind of worked with him to hone that, that scouting base and that film base. And I talked to Dave Gettleman today for this article I'm doing, and He said the only real way to do it in terms of getting better at evaluation is to just immerse yourself in film and video. And that's what those two guys did. And they were together a lot. they were kind of a familiar tandem to guys on the Panthers beat, because they would be next to each other side by side in the press box on game day, comparing notes. And then behind the scenes, countless hours of film study. And so I certainly, you can make the case in the knock that Bean's, that he might not have as much experience in the way of talent evaluation, scouting as other guys, but he has gotten a cram course the last 4 or 5 years.
Joe, it's funny how you mentioned Bean was there, right at the beginning, essentially, a couple years into the franchise. Everybody here in Western New York remembers the end of the Super Bowl run, and, well, there goes the pipeline down to Carolina. Bill Polian fell by Frank Reich and Don Beebe and Pete Metzelaars, all these Buffalo products going down, and it almost seems like things have come full circle here.
It is. There is a real kind of interesting dynamic between these two cities and these two organizations. I mean, I'm a Pennsylvania guy from years ago, but been in the South a while. And I moved to Charlotte 8 years ago and was surprised to learn that there was not one Buffalo Bills bar on Sundays, but two or three. And a couple of them are actually pretty good places, good food and beer, if y'all ever get down this way. But yeah, there's this real, aside from the, and I want to say it was a bunch of Kodak people that may have first come down here. I may be wrong, but clearly they all got the word that, there was a little, the winters weren't as bad and, the weather is a little better down here. But we've seen the reverse hold true this offseason. Not just Sean, not just McDermott and Bean, but, three players now who were with the Panthers last year are currently in Bills uniform with Mike Tolbert, Philly Brown, and Leonard Johnson. And it's going to make, I think, for a very interesting week two when Buffalo and Sean McDermott brings his first Bills team back down to Charlotte.
And we're following Trey Boston, who apparently tweeted out last night he was choosing between the Bills and the Chargers. I guess, why would the Panthers not re-sign him? What can you tell us about this player?
He was a guy who had a couple. He went to Chapel Hill, went to UNC. He was a Tar Heel, fourth round pick 4 years ago, and lost his starting job at free safety two different times. His rookie year, he was a starter and lost it, and then last season. And so he just, he's a good player. He passes the eye test. He's a good athlete. Didn't make a lot of plays. He blew some coverages here, as he also did in college. And then the funny thing is that this was really an ironic deal. He, because of his playing time, the new CBA in the NFL, guys drafted in like the third through seventh round who didn't get the money in this new deal like other guys did. They have a deal where if you hit certain playing time incentives, the teams don't have anything to do with it. The league kicks up your salary, and Trey Boston got a big bump this offseason from something like $800,000 to $1.9 million, which in the grand scheme of things, it might not be a ton in NFL money, but when you're a backup safety and special teams player, that was enough. I think they were like, you know what, we can get a rookie to be the backup safety and pay him a lot less. So that's how Trey Boston became available, and I'm not surprised at all to see Sean McDermott make a play for him.
And Joe, what else can we loot from the Carolina Panthers cupboard? I mean, is your mascot busy this offseason? Can we maybe recruit the mascot to come and replace Billy the Buffalo?
How about their weather?
Yeah, can we loot the weather from Carolina? Joe Person of the Charlotte Observer joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. We heard that Brandon Bean was up for the San Francisco 49ers position. Did you know anything about that job search and why he may not have been hired by the 49ers at the time?
Well, because John Lynch got himself involved in that search, and I think that ended everyone else's candidacy not named John Lynch. But I was just putting this in this story actually when you guys called. When Bean got that promotion a couple years ago, he was late 30s at the time. It was a pretty big deal because the Panthers didn't have that position. It's not like someone left. The Gettleman kind of bestowed that assistant GM title on him. And I think that kind of raised Bean's profile around the league. I think other people and other front offices, decision makers took notice of that, started maybe asking about who this Gettleman right-hand man was or is. And that certainly didn't hurt him get that interview with the 49ers. And it just seemed like all along, right, that he was going to get this Bills job. I mean, he and Sean were very close. We already talked about kind of their similar backgrounds. It just seemed like it was a good fit, and it'll be interesting. In terms of looting the organization, I did do a little note earlier today, put out on our Charlotte Observer website, is their GM kind of basically told me that they weren't going to be real keen on any scouts leaving to follow Brandon Bean, that all of their scouts here are under contract, and as such, the Panthers really can block them from talking to the Bills. Doesn't mean maybe some kind of lower level guy in the front office might not go up there, but it doesn't sound like the Panthers are going to be. I think they're kind of cool with Sean and Brandon going up, and I think okay, enough's enough.
Joe, before we let you go, real quick, Cam Newton, the surgery, chances he'll be ready week one.
I think he'll be ready for sure. I don't know that I think he's going to be ready for a start of training camp too. That is, I guess if anything's in question, it would be that date, just because he did have the surgery later on in the offseason. They were trying to do it non-surgically with rest and rehab, and it just wasn't getting any better. So, I think it's possible he might miss, and no one certainly said this, but I would guess that he could potentially be at risk for missing that first week camp. But I would think by about midway through camp, and certainly by week one or two, he should be good to go. He had that partially torn labrum repaired. And from what all accounts are, he has lost some weight this offseason, kind of gotten a little leaner. I think we're going to see a much more motivated Cam Newton after what was just a terrible drop-off following that MVP season of 2015.
Now, if you could say the same thing for your wide receiver one, we have a connection there. Benjamin's putting it on.
Exactly. He's those two hang out together. They're clearly not like going to the same buffet bar.
Covering the Carolina Panthers for the Charlotte Observer and giving us some insight on new Bills GM Brandon Bean, Joe Person joining us in the sports bar. Joe, this has been great. Hope we get the chance to do it again, maybe like before week two, maybe the NFL season.
Yeah, give a call. That'll be fun. Let's stir it up a little bit.
You got it. Joe Person joining us here on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, Joe. Really appreciated
Thanks, Joe.
That was awesome. And now we know a little bit more about Bills GM Brandon Bean.
And it's interesting to me that there are these fail-safes in the Panther organization that, all right, you need to build the scouting department. Yeah, stop looking here.
Right.
Yeah, there's this non-compete thing.
At some point, you got to imagine that they're just like, all right, listen. You have our defensive coordinator from last year. That's cute. All right, now you're going to take our assistant GM. Okay. You grabbed a few of our players on the way. Okay. Enough. You've had enough.
Well, that's how the Panthers were born, though. I mean, this is payback time, Danger.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to get paid by the Buffalo Bills way back when. I'm talking about Frank Reich and Pete Metzlars and Don Beebe. This is right at the birth of free agency. And Bill Polian, that's really the one team you could say that was built by free agency that actually was successful. The Panthers in their second year got to the NFC Championship game. It was Buffalo guys, essentially. Kerry Collins came in, obviously, at quarterback right after Frank Reich. But Frank Reich started week one for the Carolina Panthers. Wide receiver, tight end. There's probably other guys I'm forgetting about. And obviously the GM. So funny how things have come full circle. And also interesting to me that, you say Rochester to a Southerner. What did they say? Well, a couple guys, Kodak.
Yeah, shocking. You mean a couple of people from Rochester moved to Charlotte, and
they were from Kodak.
Yeah, they worked for Kodak, and they kind of found their own watering holes on Sundays and turned them into Bills bars. Wow, that doesn't sound Rochester at all.
No. In fact, name me a city in America that doesn't have a Bills bar. Honestly,
No, every city has. Yeah, they're everywhere. Every city has one. I have a friend in Los Angeles who spends his Sundays in his Bills bar watching the Bills in Los Angeles, of all places. So they exist everywhere. And not surprising to hear him say that a couple guys from Kodak found their way down to Charlotte. And now the Bills have a pretty decent following there in Carolina as well. Joe Person joining us. And if you missed any of that conversation, we'll have it up and available for you on demand on the all-new ESPNRochester.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.